Lifestyle.com. Obama talking health care on the radio. What's new? Will the Dems really go it alone? We'll find out. Lockerbie bomber in Libya. Nothing has infuriated me more in a very long time. Plus, what's going on with Hurricane Bill? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Thanks for all the emails. I promise we will get to an email segment tonight, no doubt about it. But first, right from the get-go, Mike Vashosky joins us now, Dr. Mike Vashosky, and he is a candidate for U.S. Congress in South Carolina's 3rd District. What is it like to decide you're going to run, dive in, and then go for it? And he's got a partner in crime. Dr. Rand Paul is running. We have so many people listening to us in Kentucky, too. So a big shout-out to them. He is running for, and both of them, for 2010. He is running for Senate in Kentucky for the Senate. And GCN had was a co-sponsor of a big Moneyball event throughout the day to raise money, campaign funds for Dr. Rand Paul. And I wonder where it's at. Last time I checked, it was pretty high. The money was certainly clicking up. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Great. I'm glad to be with you, Kate.
Hey, what was the latest? What happened during the day? It seemed like it just kept clicking up to me. So
Last time I checked it this morning, it was around 400 and something thousand, and then I got back in from a campaign activity of my own about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I think the last I saw was 650,000.
Yeah, boy, that's terrific. That's a one-day period, and let's face it, you know, Dr. Paul has a famous father, but virtually now he's becoming known in a pretty quick time, so in raising money for a campaign, that's got to bode pretty well for him.
It's an incredible amount of money, and in this day and age when money is tight, and I'm experiencing that myself with requests for funds and stuff for my campaign, people are tight. The economy is not good, and it's put a bite on all these things. And like you said, even with his father's name, he still has to generate this thing pretty much on his own, and it's tough. And he's in a state that I would imagine is hurting as much or more than other parts of the country.
Yeah, no kidding. For your own campaign, what made you decide to do it? What, I mean, you're a doctor, you have a successful practice. What made you say, listen, I'm just gonna dive into politics. I'm gonna jump on this train. What made you decide to make that leap?
That is the first question that everybody asks. They ask, why are you doing it? And it's like so many things in life. You come to these huge decisions in life with many, many factors coming together, and it's very hard to pinpoint one thing that says, okay, this is what it was. There's many things that has come together to make this happen, but if I had to pick one thing, I would have to say that there's an inspiration factor here. In my life, I've done three major things, by chance, all three of them seem to have been prompted by physicians. The first thing happened in the mid-70s when a physician inspired me and helped me get into medical school. And after that, there was a spiritual experience where our friend in medical school inspired me through his own behavior, through his own actions, to follow a spiritual Christian life. And that happened in the late 70s. And then most recently, it was the inspiration that came from Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul, what he did in the presidential elections in 2007, and in the particular campaign in 2007, and then the elections in 2008. When you see those kind of things, it's just hard to say no. And I've listened a couple of times. I've gone back and listened to Ron Paul's speech at the Minneapolis St. Paul event, and in there is a very he says specifically that once a person becomes aware of something, it calls upon you to take some action. And if nothing else, that's what it was. I hope that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. It was a life journey. Like, eventually you decided, especially then, I guess, the capper was hearing you know, Congressman Paul, hearing what he had to say, that pushed it over the top for you, certainly. Now, this is a good question.
Yeah.
Did you seek any advice from him? Because if I were running, that's what I would do. I would want to be armed with as much information, because knowledge is power. Did you seek some advice from him when you decided you were going to do this?
Now, I did not have the opportunity to talk to him one-on-one until later on. It wasn't until early this year, in March of this year, that my wife and I went up to Washington, D.C. from South Carolina, and I had a chance to meet with him one-on-one in his office and talk to him and tell him how the decision happened and such, and I told him what some of my hopes and goals were, and he reinforced that it's a very, very tough thing to do. And if nothing else, the one prime factor in the whole thing that clicked for me was that being 55 years old and being a product of the Vietnam War, having my father been over there and almost going myself, I said to myself back then, and many in my generation said, that the Vietnam was a total mistake. We should never have done it. It was admitted by those in charge later on that it was a mistake. And I thought, you know, our country will never do this again. And when I heard and learned about the foreign policy of non-intervention, that is what resonated. And there was no doubt about it at that point that this guy, when I heard this and read more about it, I said, that makes sense. And then the stuff about the economy and the monetary policy, all these things fit together. So I was not fortunate enough to talk to him one-on-one early on, but prior to meeting Dr. Paul, I met with two congressmen who are also happen to be physicians. One of them represents Augusta, Georgia, where they play the Masters in March, April of each year, and that gentleman is a congressman and a physician, and I got to speak with him for almost a solid hour in his office, and he told me what it was like to make the transition from medicine to politics to being a representative, and after that meeting, then it was pretty much firmed up that it was possible, it was doable, and there's no question that it's a sacrifice. Now, I myself, I'm a general practice physician, and I derive from that career a significant income, but. People in ophthalmic surgery and ophthalmology, their income and livelihood is larger than mine. And prior to talking to you, I looked up one more time the salaries for congressmen and for senators, and I know for a fact that it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice in time. It's a sacrifice of being away from your family. And it's a financial sacrifice to go do that. It's a significant sacrifice, and probably for most successful physicians, we're talking about at least a minimum 66% cut in pay to do this. So it's a sacrifice. It's a financial sacrifice, and it's a service. That's what it is. You are representing people, and it's a service to those people. In my area here in South Carolina, the district encompasses 750,000 people, and those are all people that I'll be representing and be responsible for in that regard. So it's a service, and now I know that I'm ready to do it.
Well, good luck to you the rest of the way. I'm sure you're going to be burning up a lot of shoe leather. Dr. Mike Mushkowski, of course, running for Congress 2010, South Carolina 3rd District. What an interesting conversation. Thanks, Doc. Good luck.
All right.
Coming up next on America Tonight, odds and ends. We've got to take you around the world and dip into a couple of other things, plus a conversation about Fido and fitness. Hang through.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is a story of famous dog. But the dog that sees this tale will be busy. These are happy dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs, dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs.
My goal with Mahalo, my golden retriever, is that Mahalo has a second duty in life. Not just to smile and, you know, lick my face, but to help get me in the best shape as possible. Because he's a golden retriever, you know, I could run with him, walk with him. Some of you can relate to this. I know many people listening, especially in this audience, have dogs, big dogs. A lot of you have sent me pictures of your dogs, labs, retrievers, some of the bigger breeds. Then some of you also have smaller dogs, too, which I'm sure it doesn't matter. You could get in shape with a smaller dog, too. Well, how cool is this? You can go to this website and check out some interesting health news with kind of a little bit of a dog twist to it, if you will. It's fitasfido.com. And who is the woman behind fitasfido.com, the book at the website, etc.? That would be Dr. Dawn Marcus, a professor at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Doc, thanks for hanging late with us on America Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. It's great to talk to you.
All right, so Fitness Fido, how'd you come up with this?
Well, you know, seeing patients for many years, you really discover very quickly that you really need to do a lot more for people to get them healthy than just give them a pill, and you really need to address a whole range of lifestyle issues like diet, sleep, and exercise. And after we had a Wheaton Terrier enter our own family's life, it became clear that it became much easier to adopt all of those healthy lifestyle habits I'd been preaching to my patients for years by having the dog around, just getting ourselves better scheduled, eating better, exercising more regularly, and trying to adopt the dog's attitude and approach toward life.
Yeah, how scary is it? And you even have this on your website. I was just talking to a doctor the other day about this. It's crazy when you look at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health numbers. They're saying 70% of adults in the United States are going to be overweight, or, this is the other thing, obese by 2010. 37% will be obese. Oh, doctor, that is a frightening number, I think, don't you?
It really is a very scary statistic, and I think a lot of times we underestimate the significant impact from being overweight. And being overweight really puts you at a huge risk for a lot of other health conditions as well. And doing simple things like exercising can really make a great impact on a lot of health conditions. You decrease your risk for different cancers like breast cancer, colon cancer, heart disease, diabetes. A lot of those risks really drop way down once you start getting yourself exercising, even if you don't lose a huge amount of weight, but just get into that habit of a regular exercise pattern. And a dog is just a fabulous way to help you do that.
Right. So you could, walking the dog, you can get as much exercise as sometimes that you can pounding away at the gym, right, calorie-wise?
Absolutely. They've actually done some interesting studies here in Pittsburgh to look at what happens when you do exercise, either a real structured, you know, once a day like that exercise workout in the gym, or breaking the exercise up into several small segments throughout the day. And in a really neat study, they had women who weren't very active, try to do 30 minutes of exercise a day, and one group was told you have to do it all in one single session, and the other group said you cannot do it in one session. They had to break it up into several small sessions throughout the day. And then they came back after about a month or so to see what happened with those women. And what they found was that the group who did the short exercise sessions, which could be things like, you know, 10-minute dog walks three times a day, that group was exercising about 25% more than those doing the big exercise session, and they lost about 40% more weight. So a lot of times I think we really underestimate the impact of, you know, these small exercise segments like a dog walk. And the nice thing with a dog walk is, unlike going to the gym, when you're walking the dog, you've got, you know, that dog at home who's convincing you every day it's time to go out and exercise, rather than, ooh, do I want to bother to go to the gym today, or can I take a day off, which is real easy to do if you don't have that workout buddy with you.
Yeah, boy, I agree, because I used to be a workout fiend, and then what happens is you get burned out on working out, and then you start to slip back into old habits. But now with Mahalo, I have no choice, because you have to take the dog out, and he's a puppy. So, you know, you're talking 5 months, 5.5 months old, and you got to take him out, and he demands a lot of walking attention, and I can feel it in my calves and legs and stuff, and more of the guys and women I've met along the way and walking the dog tell me the same thing. Now, you also talk about taking the dog in the water. I can imagine this would be a great aerobic exercise, and you even have a list of different breeds that are great that love going in the water. My dog, the retriever's on there, but you also have the Portuguese water dogs on there, of course, the Chesapeake Bay retriever, a whole list of dogs. That has to be pretty good too, because you know your adrenaline's going, you're in the pool or you're out at the lake, right?
Yeah, and I think really the thing to think about is, you know, the dog can really help you get motivated to do fun things that are also good for you. So you may say, well, geez, do I want to bother to get out there and go for a swim? But if you're including your dog in that activity, it can make it more of a fun experience rather than the drudgery of exercise of, oh, good grief, I have to do my exercise again, rather than, ooh, I get to go play with Mahalo now. Won't that be fun? And you can really turn those exercise sessions into something fun. And swimming can be a great exercise for both you and for the dog.
Yeah, and you talk about it. You're making the comparisons of the dog and the healthy dog and the healthy person. Sleep factors into that too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we Americans are terrible about sleep. And most of us really try to minimize the sleep that we get, often replacing a sleep deficit with eating to try to feel, you know, that little boost of energy that we're not getting by sleeping. And our dogs can just be a wonderful example to see, you know, how should you treat sleep. And, you know, you'll find with your dog, when it's time to go to bed, they go to bed, they go to sleep. There's really no good excuse of, well, I can stay up a few extra hours tonight or don't have to get my sleep for the dog. And those can be really good habits to adopt for yourself, too.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Another thing that you talk about, I found this interesting. This is one of the chapters in your book. You talk about eating like a dog. What can people take from what a dog is eating?
Well, there are really a lot of good lessons we can learn from how our dogs eat, and also how we allow our dogs to eat. One of the things that I know I found I did a lot when my children were little is when I would be cleaning up, you know, their meals, there'd often be a lot of leftover food on the table that they had left. It was really perfectly good food. And as you're, you know, tossing it out, you're thinking, oh, boy, that looks pretty tasty. Let me just finish those extra cookies or that extra slice of pizza that's sitting there on the table myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really you can end up accumulating a huge amount of calories by just eating those, you know, leftovers that are lurking around the kitchen. And the way I like to think about it is I would never say to my dog, okay, we finished our family dinner, jump up on the table and start, you know, wolfing down all the food that's left. I would just find that horrifying. But yet that was something that I was doing myself. So by looking at, you know, what would you allow your dog to do and, you know, not doing those behaviors that you're not permitting him to do, you know, can be a very, very helpful thing. Also looking at how do you feed your dog, and the dog really, for the most part, does best if it has very regular meal times. You're feeding it, you know, the same small portions each day, using a nice small dog dish to make sure that you're not overfeeding it. And those same kind of tips can be helpful to keep your own weight in check.
Yeah, boy, that's a good comparison. The smaller plates, etc., just like the smaller dish, absolutely. Fit as Fido is the name of the book, Follow Your Dog to Better Health. People can get it by going to the website, right, Doc?
Yes, and also you can get it through Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for staying late. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks.
All right, so Fit as Fido, interesting tips, talking about just look at your dog, look at what you're feeding your dog, look at the dog sleeping, all those kind of things, and it does make sense. Like, my dog's pretty lean. He eats small bowls of food. He sleeps a ton. He gets to sleep, but he definitely likes to exercise too. So if you kind of mirrored that a little bit and what she's saying, that would crack down probably on some of those extra calories that a lot of us are tagging along and cut down on the fast food. I mean, fast food can be such a culprit for so many people because you're stressed, you're out of time, you're sleep deprived, etc. And you just don't feel like making anything. You don't want to eat healthy food. You just want to go grab something like a cheeseburger or a taco or, you know, whatever. And you start to do that too much, and then it just creeps up on that old waistline. Trust me, I know about the fast food thing. It can be vicious. Coming up next, Obama. What did he say today? We'll let you hear it on America Tonight.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
If you'd like to play poker, craps, or roulette at home with casino-style equipment, you need to find a reputable company that you can trust. JustPokerSupplies.com is here to help you find what you need for your at-home casino experience. JustPokerSupplies.com carries the latest professional and custom poker chips, playing cards, craps, and roulette tables, and even custom felt for your new table. Need some help with your game? You will find a large assortment of books and DVDs that will teach you how to dominate the competition. A game room? JustPokerSupplies.com sells Las Vegas style art, lighting, seating, automatic card shufflers, poker genies, and over 1,500 different products to suit your needs. Whether you want a large game room or just a small one for you and your friends, head on over to JustPokerSupplies.com. That's JustPokerSupplies.com or call 877-255-4616. That's 877-255-4616 today.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us and we love you.
Coming up, we have the latest on Hurricane Bill. You weren't planning to go to Bermuda anytime soon, were you? Or parts of Canada. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know the show. Flip us an email on anything, americatonight.net. Thoughts, comments, recipes for manicotti. I was frantically looking for one today. Can you believe it? I have no manicotti recipe. Lasagna, yes. Manicotti, no. Which one of those two is better? See, I'm more a manicotti person. There's too much stuff in the lasagna. But for something completely different, let's talk about Afghanistan. Last show, everybody was voting in Afghanistan. I say everybody, the people that could get to the polls because they were afraid that the Taliban would get them. At least a dozen plus people were killed trying to get to the polls. But overall, the violence was cut to a minimum compared with the threats that were volleyed about by the Taliban before this vote actually took place. So now the counting begins, and how they do it in Afghanistan, they count, no joke, the poll workers, they count in tents. Yeah. We complain about our system. They count in tents with just the light of a battery-powered lantern. Mm-hmm. So how about that? The voter turnout was actually a lot lower than they had hoped for, I think, in that country. Hamid Karzai, the incumbent president running for re-election should get in, but, you know, let's see what happens when it's all said and done. And this is, what, 7 years he's been in office, and he was running against 40 other candidates. I actually saw a photograph of what that's like. I mean, seriously, if you can imagine how primitive. You know, when you had a clubhouse and you were trying to decide who could come into your little fort, and you had to put it on a secret ballot, a little crumply piece of paper, and then you counted a few of those votes out for the gang, right? There was like maybe 10 of you, and that would be big. Can you just imagine the conditions? If you think of these tiny lanterns, it's crazy to see that. It just once again reminds us what it's like to live in another country versus what we have here in the United States. So you had people in one of the main polling centers coming in that might have been one of the biggest ones. 5,000 showed up there, and there were, you know, a trickle of voters in some of the more remote areas. Because remember, it's also tough for them to get to the polls besides the Taliban threat. So President Barack Obama today talked about a couple of different things, including Afghanistan. And we know that a poll came out that showed most Americans, or a big majority of Americans, are opposed to what's happening in Afghanistan and would rather end the war there. And all of us are questioning what, for goodness sake, is going to be the end game for Afghanistan. Here was the president.
Well, here's where we're at. We are continuing to ramp up the pressure in Afghanistan. And you know, we had what appears to be a successful election in Afghanistan despite the Taliban's efforts to disrupt it. You've got General McChrystal now over there and more troops who are putting pressure on the eastern and southern portions of Afghanistan. On the other hand, you've got the Pakistani army for the first time actually fighting in a very aggressive way. And that's how we took out Batula Masood, the top Taliban leader in Pakistan, who was also one of bin Laden's key allies. So the goal here is essentially to have a pincher where we are squeezing them on both sides. We're eliminating their allies. It's making it more difficult for them to communicate, making it more difficult for them to operate safe havens. And over time, what we hope to do is to flush them out. We are going to keep on putting pressure on them. And I know that it's at great cost. I mean, you know, I have to sign letters to family members who have fallen, and a lot more are falling in Afghanistan than in Iraq. And as a consequence, we've got to make sure that we are really focused on finishing the job in Afghanistan, but it's going to take some time.
All right, so that's the question. It's going to take some time. Well, Mr. President, how much time? Americans feel like we've invested a lot of lives into this and also a lot of dollars and are concerned about seeing the same path over and over again, much like Iraq. So you go flow from Iraq to Afghanistan, although there were troops in Afghanistan since 2001, obviously. But now you're going to ramp that up. It's going to be a double the amount there. Plus, you've got General McChrystal, who's going to come back. He needs more men. He's going to ask for more men and for more money. So it's going to take some time. How much time? What is the timeline? What is the end game for Afghanistan, for a very restless nation, frankly, concerned about the men and women who are making the big sacrifices now in yet another Middle Eastern country? Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. How are you?
We're both fantastic.
Excellent. So you say you're both fantastic. It's getting ready for another weekend.
Another weekend of me reffing kids football.
That's okay. You enjoy doing it, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, a quick story, and then I'll tell you. Last year, I'm reffing a game, and some parent yelled, "That was a lousy call." And then Julie yells, "Yeah, but he's got a good-looking tush." So then during a stoppage and play, the three other officials are coming over, and they're all looking at my tush. I go, "What are you guys looking at?" So they all two guys said, "What is she on?" And the third guy said, "She blind." You know, because, you know, she gets...
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, anyway, okay, talking about Afghanistan, I mean, in Canada, we're supposedly supposed to be having a, you know, we're committed to like 2010. Now Stephen Harper's talking about maybe extending it to like 2012. And for a country.
What's the Canadians' reaction?
Most of them are, what has he been smoking?
Okay, so the Canadians aren't backing this either.
Well, some Canadians. I mean, obviously, once Parliament gets, you know, gets back in session, it might topple the government because of this. Because, you know, I mean, okay, 127 Canadian soldiers have been killed. I mean, I'm not trying to compare it to the States versus Canada, but still 127, you know, sons and daughters and fathers and, you know, sisters and whatever. So for us, it's a big deal. And just to get back to football, one of the soldiers who was killed was a fellow football referee. So we're wearing his number on our sleeve this season in memory of him. So it proves it's hitting everybody. And I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the most up-to-date weapons like you people do. And the Taliban seems to be, they're more, you know, they're better, well, they're more equipped and equipped, you know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Right, than in some cases, than some, you know, Canada. But, I mean, the news is trying to show, like, hey, it is dangerous. You still have the demonstrators who say Canada should get out of Afghanistan. But then Harper's saying, no, we've got a commitment. And it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So... But you've got the same problem. Right.
People are weary of these wars in the
right.
Middle East because
right.
when whether it's Canadian, which is much smaller than what the Americans have over there, but still there are men over there and women over there, I'm assuming.
Right.
And so then you talk about the loss of life or volunteering over and over and over again to go.
Right.
And I keep saying this. What is the end game? President Obama says it'll take time, but what does that mean? Is it going to take a decade? And then when everybody leaves and there's a pullout, is it a victory? Or, you know, is everybody in the Taliban dead except for peaceful Taliban types who have now changed their lives? And and it's not about murdering Westerners, and it's about love and peace and getting along. I don't know. It seems like a very tall order to me.
One political commentator here in Canada said, this generation in America, it's their Vietnam. Do you agree? You know, what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Oh, absolutely. I think more even in Afghanistan, because now here we are in Afghanistan and there have been troops there. And now you're going to up that amount, double that amount, and ask for more money. And the thing is, I'm all for getting the bad guys. I'm all for spreading the good word of democracy. But at what cost? And
right.
at what cost to our countries for the lives and then the financial burden? And if you're not, if there is no winnable situation, then why? Then why
right.
do it?
The only people who are getting rich from this are defense contractors.
Exactly.
You know, with all the, I mean, if anybody who's working for defense contractors listen, I do apologize, but hey, there's only, you know, and, you know, there's only so many soldiers, you know, your country, my country can spread around before one of these days our Minister of Defense is going to say, whoa, enough, that's it, we can't do it anymore, you know?
Right, and then once the people, if there were even more Canadians going,
right.
then you would see probably more protests. Like in the United States, as you keep upping the level of the troop level, that's what it is. And plus,
right.
Americans aren't making sacrifices, I think, to a lot, except for, of course, the ones invested in the war, the ones who have family members there, etc.
Right.
But it's not like World War I or II where you know there had to be sacrifices made to support the troops. We're not seeing that same kind of thing really across the board in the United States. So it's very different from the kind of wars obviously that we have fought and gone through in the past. Sam, you have a fabulous weekend.
You bet. You want me to tell Julie you said hello?
Tell her I said a big fat hi.
Okay,
be safe and enjoy the couple of days off. Coming up on the flip side, Obama sounding off on the Lockerbie bomber, Al Megrahi being freed on compassionate grounds. Absolutely outrageous. You know how I feel about this. Was it fair to let him go? Was it fair to let the man that killed a ton of Americans just walk away back to Libya? We're talking about it next.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Quentin Tarantino has a new movie that's out this weekend. I think it's going to be a huge hit at the box office, but if you've ever seen any of Tarantino's movies, really not for kids, adults only. We have our cheap movie reviews if you hang through, because we are live and nationwide, of course, for 4 huge hours. So in our last hour, we've got a movie review of his brand new flick and a couple of others as well. There's even a chick flick sandwiched in between everything. Every week there's a chick flick, though. See, if you're going to get her to go to a violent movie, then you have to do that thing, tit for tat. So you got to go suffer through another love story. They're almost rote. They're all the same. Sadly, this is not a movie, but it is real life. I feel so awful for the people who lost family members in that Lockerbie bombing over Scotland. And you remember 88, it was just days before Christmas. A lot of the people that were killed were 18, 19, 20, coming back from school, excited, you know, the whole holiday buzz thing, and they were blown to bits thanks to a guy named Al Megrahi, who was convicted of that crime, although it took some time. Now he's riddled with cancer, and he has been released from prison on compassionate grounds. What was the Scottish Justice Secretary thinking? Here is Mr. McCaskill and his blubbering reasons as to why they did that.
I sought the views of the United Kingdom government. I offered them the right to make representations or provide information. They declined to do so. They simply informed me that they saw no legal barrier to transfer and that they gave no assurances to the US government at the time. They have declined to offer a full explanation as to what was discussed during this time or to provide any information to substantiate their view. I find that highly regrettable. I therefore do not know what the exact nature of those discussions was, nor what may have been agreed between governments. However, I am certain of the clear understanding of the American families and the American government. Therefore, it appears to me that the American families and government either had an expectation or were led to believe that there would be no prisoner transfer and the sentence would be served in Scotland. It is for that reason that the Libyan government's application for prisoner transfer for Abdel Basset Ali Mohamed Al-Megrahi, I accordingly reject. I now turn to the issue of compassionate release. Section 3 of the Prisoners and Criminal Proceedings Scotland Act 1993 gives the Scottish ministers the power to release prisoners on licence on compassionate grounds. The Act requires that ministers are satisfied that there are compassionate grounds justifying the release of a person.
All right, we've heard enough of this Scottish Justice Secretary, Kenny McCaskill, and, you know, he basically says that although Al-Megrahi hadn't shown compassion to his victims, many were American college students, as I mentioned, flying back for the holidays, that he was motivated by the Scottish values, that's what he was explaining there, to show mercy. So here's what you have. Al-Megrahi gets on a plane, goes back to Libya, thousands of screaming people excited for his release, and who knows what's next. Supposedly, he's going to have a visit with Gaddafi, and in the meantime, he's being hailed as a hero. I think I said this on our last America Tonight. What many of the people in Libya feel, they feel as though he was just a scapegoat and he did not kill those people on that flight, that Pan Am flight 103. And you listen to the reaction. I saw a woman from a neighborhood right next to the neighborhood I grew up on the tube the other day, from a place called Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Her 20-year-old brother was on that flight. And she said, you know, it's horrible. I don't show compassion for someone who shows no remorse. And that's exactly it. It's a complete insult and just, to me, utterly disgusting that they let him out. He should not have been able to be released. And shame on the Scottish government for doing that. So here's what President Obama said as a result.
We have been in contact with the Scottish government indicating that we objected to this. And we thought it was a mistake. We're now in contact with the Libyan government and want to make sure that if, in fact, this transfer has taken place, that he's not welcomed back in some way, but instead should be under house arrest. We've also obviously been in contact with the families of the Pan Am victims. And indicated to them that we don't think this was appropriate.
All right, too late for that because he did get a hero's welcome, and supposedly every year they're going to mark the return of Al-Megrahi August 20th as a banner day in Libya. So it's just too bloody bad that the Scottish didn't have enough cojones to stand up and say, okay, this time we're not going to exercise this clause. So without further ado, Mr. Matt Johnson, you are the executor. Can we, well, I guess you're not executing, but you're going to throw McCaskill in the dungeon for me so he can feel what it's like. Let's throw him in.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
The only way he gets out of the dungeon is I will send him a key. If he agrees to come on the show for an interview, we'll let him loose. Or you can decide if you have some compassion for him. This is theater of the mind. But can you just imagine how somebody would feel if they lost their brother, their son, their daughter on that flight? And then, of course, this is all played out, and you're seeing the headlines. He's released. You'll see the people going crazy when he goes back to Libya. And you who knows what that person's life would have been? Who knows what they would have realized for the United States, what kind of a productive person they might have been? But just even family lines, to lose someone that way, I just think every day you could not, it'd be a tough thing to live with. You'd have a heavy heart every day. Even the strongest people, you would find a way to survive, but it would have to be extremely rough. So this just throws more insult, I think, out to the people who suffered that great loss when they finally were able to nab him and throw him in jail. And sadly, now he is released. Granted, he has terminal cancer and he's not doing well, they say. But what if there's a turnaround in his condition? Doesn't matter. I mean, he's free to go. He's gone. He's done. Done for now. I said that I would track Bill for you. I got a lot of email concerned about what's going on with Bill. You were talking about the possibility of it coming toward the East Coast. And as I was mentioning, riptide seem to be what will happen in parts of the East Coast, you know, New Jersey and above most likely. But Bermuda's under the hurricane watch because it's approaching. So it's a little bit weaker, but you still have 120-mile-an-hour winds. And remember, you're talking about an island, so they're going to have huge waves. And we may see those big, dangerous waves and riptides along the eastern U.S. coast line over the weekend. And this is a big weekend. A lot of people take their vacations in August right before kids go back to school, a week or two before they go back. And could it re-strengthen back into a Category 4? Because, you know, that's all about where it is. Is it going to get up to 155 miles an hour, et cetera? And right now they're saying at the National Hurricane Center they can't rule that out. So we're probably looking at maybe 30 hours before it strikes Bermuda. And, you know, what's interesting is former U.S. President Bill Clinton and his wife, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, just arrived in Bermuda on Wednesday for a 3 or 4 day getaway. What did they say about timing?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?